Please be seated, won't you? Good morning.
Good morning.
What does it mean to believe? Or what does it mean to have faith? Sometimes I think believing in things that are not touchable or seeable causes those of us who might be a little skeptical to have a hard time. And in other ways, we might come to believe easily. Take, for instance, a light switch and a light bulb. How many of you turn a light on and have faith that the light will, you know, if you flip the switch, it comes on? How many of you think about the length of the life of the filament or now the digital LED, whatever it is? How many of you have considered whether the wiring is of the right gauge or it's put in the right order? You know when it's not because either you get a little shocked or you have something else more exciting happen. But usually when you hit the light, you don't think about whether the light's going to come on or not. How do you know if somebody loves you or likes you? How do you know if someone is your friend? And I'm not talking about Facebook, by the way. But how do you know if someone is really your friend? There are things in our life in which we have to take it on faith or on belief that someone else or something or some kind of thing that we believe in is really happening. In today's gospel, we have this beautiful story of Thomas and his unbelief for a brief moment. And Thomas is always called the doubter for reasons, and several times in Scripture, he doubts whatever is happening. And to me, it's an invitation to enter into the gospel for anyone who has any skepticism in their life. Because here we have a skeptic. All of his friends are excited. The Lord is risen. The Lord, you know, we've seen him. We've talked to him. And Thomas says, not until I touch his hands and touch his feet and his side will I believe. You all are crazy. And then we have that piece of scripture where Jesus appears to him and he touches his hands, touches his side, and he comes to belief. Now, it might mean, how do we then come to believe? And this is where I think the invitation for Thomas is so important. We come to believe because others have told us, or others have shown us, or others have given us a model. Others have shown their faith that seems very real. It's wounds we can touch. It's a side that we can put our fingers into. It's a foot that we can see. It's somehow that we know that faith is a lie. Last year, about this time, we were celebrating Palm Sunday. You know, Easter moves around with the moon cycles. If you didn't know that, it kind of, you know, that's why. It's according to the first new moon of the spring after the equinox, according to a great elaborate calendar, which really isn't matter because we have it all written down for the next 100 years. So, but it's kind of fun. I'll show it to you sometime if you're interested. But we were celebrating Palm Sunday. And we'd had a great morning, and we'd had bagpipes and celebrations and different things going on. And as is typical, after having lunch with my family, I went home and I was getting ready to sit down and rest for a while. I usually take a Sunday afternoon nap. And there I was. I got a phone call from a friend. Did you hear about the shootings? I said, I don't know. Do you know what happened? And Jox, my rabbi friend, said, I don't know. I've heard different things, and we were trying to find out where. And it was all right in this neighborhood. So just down the street was the school where the man was arrested. So further down the street was the Village Shalom. And then just over there is the Jewish Community Center. I'm not pointing in quite the right direction. But, so he and I were talking. So we ought to do something. Let's get our two faith communities together. Let's at least get together and pray. This is going to be important. Having no idea what would happen. And pretty soon Ben and others were getting involved. And we were beginning to plan to do something. We said, okay, at 8 o'clock we'll open the doors. And anybody who wants to show up can show up. We had some help with some friends in the media to let the word get out. Before we know it, we had the sanctuary packed, the hallways packed, the narthex packed, into the parish hall, all through the hallways, people sitting along the sides of the walls, aligning the stairs, nearly 1,000 people gathered in our sanctuary. In addition, all of the major news outlets from across the country, and the choir loft was completely filled with cameras and news media, and we gathered to pray. And there was no sense of doing this for any other reason than to open our doors to the community. And in the midst of that, Mindy Corcoran came up and asked if she could speak. And as you know, she'd lost her son and her father earlier that day. And there was a moment in which we saw the wounds of Christ. We saw his hands, we saw his feet, and the example of her faith on that night. When she told us to continue to have faith, to continue to believe, to continue to love each other, to continue to show forth all those things a faithful Christian would say in the midst of such shock and difficulty in our community. And the light that shined through the darkness of that night was the next morning when news started to go throughout the country. Instead of an image of a shooter, instead of an image of all the different things we could see, we saw a mother and a daughter showing her faith to the world in a sanctuary with a cross and menorah behind her. And then somehow in that moment, we saw faith. That's in a moment of tragedy. But what about in our daily lives? How do we show our faith to others? I think that's one of the most difficult thing sometimes for us to really understand is that every action that we take, everything we do, every way we treat our friends, every way we do something for others around us, we have an opportunity to show our faith, to show what we believe, to show light in the midst of darkness. That as we're believing, we have the chance to be the Thomases to the world, that somehow, in some way, we have come to believe the story. Somehow we have come to believe in Jesus. Somehow we have come to believe in God. Somehow we have come to believe in this love and this grace and this beauty and this amazing event and the cross and the resurrection. And that it empowers our life and strengthens us and gives us the opportunity to do so many things in what we do. And so then we have that chance to show others, to be Thomas, and to say, yes, I believe. Even in a world full of doubt, yes, I believe. So maybe if you dug back, you might remember that person who offered you faith, or that person that is the example for you, or that person who helped you to come to believe. And then maybe you can imagine yourself being that person for someone else. Maybe it's not that hard, really, to think about. So we have this story in the gospel of how Thomas comes to believe. In a few weeks, we're getting ready for a capital campaign to kind of finish out some of the projects that we needed to do with our building and to make sure our church is in great shape for the future. And I think it's always a difficult time when we ask for money, and this sermon's not about money, but I want you to think about what your community means to the larger community. You see, that night last year, we opened our doors like we do every day. We opened our doors so that people could come to pray. We opened our doors so that people might find comfort, might find hope, might find light in the darkness. Every day of the week, we open our doors for the same reason. We open our community to others that they might come to believe wherever they are in their journey. And sometimes people who come into our sanctuary have very little belief, and some have much. And we welcome them on their journey that they might continue to grow and they might continue to find that faith. We're not the only church in town. I'm not naive. There's tons of churches around here and tons of synagogues and places to worship. But we have a mission and we have a call to serve in our way in this community. And like Thomas, we have a story to tell to help others come to believe. It's the season of Easter, and last Sunday at Easter, I was challenging everyone to think about Easter as 50 days and to find 50 days of hope. And maybe you've heard about the 7 days of hope that's going on around the shooting events, the foundation that's been started to honor those who were lost. And tomorrow there's a big walk, and I'm not sure if we can still sign up or not. There's some controversy around that, but I hope that you participated in some way during this week, and if you're able to do the walk tomorrow, I highly encourage you to do that as a member of our community. But part of that also is to remind ourselves of hope that goes beyond just one day. I think it's easy to get excited about our faith and then let it sort of dwindle. And so I wanted you to continue that challenge to think of hope every day, of the different things that give you hope or give you faith. And so maybe during this week, it's to think about the times when you doubted and what showed you the way. To think about those times when you've seen great examples of faith that have inspired you, that continue to give you hope. Because I think in finding that, we're strengthened. And even if you're in the room and you're skeptical, just continue to look. Because I think the hands and the feet of Jesus will show themselves. And we can touch and we can see through each other the faith that's been given to us. So what and where is your hope? And what do you believe? Amen.